Sunday Meditation, October 3rd, 1999. Our question this week has to do with desire. We would like to know from Quo what it is to balance desires. A lot of times we think we know what we want. We think we understand that if we have a certain ability, a certain thing, that then we will be able to function more efficiently, we will be more whole, we'll feel more balanced. And then when we do achieve that, it turns out not to be exactly what we need. So we would like to get some information today from Quo about the nature of our desires. How do we work with our desires? How do we determine what we really want rather than what we think we want?
We are those known to you as the principal Kuo. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creation. We cannot say how blessed we feel to be calls to your circle of seeking on this day of your fall. The creation about you has begun to release it. Summer heat and to prepare itself for the sleep of winter. The desire of each tree and bush and flower for growing and turning to the light must gaze at this time of autumn, knowing its time of sleeping and regeneration is soon to arrive. And while the ground and the second density trees and creatures of the shrub and forest have no trouble adjusting their desires to fit the harmony of temperature and inner direction, the third density humans upon your sphere do indeed have no winter of sleep and regeneration, but rather an endless or seemingly endless succession of hopes, ideals, wishes and desires of all kinds that seem to know no season, and sometimes that seem to give one no rest. We are most happy to speak with you on the subject of desire. We ask only one thing, and that is that you listen to what we have to say with a jaundiced and careful ear and heart. For we would not wish to place a stumbling block in front of any who speaks. Rather, we wish to offer thoughts that have been useful in our own development. It is our service to you to do this. We are delighted to do this. But we do not wish to pretend to be authorities. For we are not authorities, but rather those who walk with you upon a spiritual path that, as far as we know, is endless. The rising and falling of desire can well be said to be the hallmark of the experience of being self-conscious. Not only your third density human experience, but also the experience of higher densities. There is ever the finer tuning of desire, the finer delineation of the shape and energy of desire. Indeed, it may be said that, in a very powerful way, desire is necessary to the third density experience, or to the fourth or fifth or sixth density experience. So let us move back to take a longer view of this that is called desire. This instrument has received many letters from those who have had unusual experiences. And we find in her memory a recent letter which gives us a good place to start speaking of desire. This entity was able to move out of his body in a daydream-like state, not in a sleeping state, but in a very relaxed and self-confident state. He was able to leave the area in which his body was placed, and eventually to leave the planet. At first, he could not move beyond a certain distance. But then, he wrote to this instrument, he realized that in the metaphysical or time-space continuum, the mode of motivation or movement was love. Love, therefore, took him by his will on a tour right up to the point at which he felt he could not and should not go further. We offer this experience in order to be able to talk about the relationship between the great original thought or logos, which is love, and desire. Desire feels, when one is in an incarnation and experiencing the momentary arising of it, very straightforwardly a desire for acquisition. It feels like it has an object, in other words. And for the most part, those things which entities among your peoples desire have what this instrument would call simple location. One desires a meal or a girlfriend or to go someplace or to read a certain book. These are things in the outer world that can be achieved and brought into the dwelling place and possess. And as the one known as Rumi noted, it seems that these desires have a very short shelf life after the acquisition of the object. Once the object is acquired, it is no longer desired. As long as desire remains at this level and is seen as that which is desire of an object, we have to approach the subject in a certain way. And that would be to speak of various ways of estimating the value of various desires. However, there is another level of desire with which those present all have considerable experience. And that is the desire for purity, for truth, for beauty. For light, for true love. For true love between people. For true relationships between people. And this level of desire has a life that is denied to desires for things which can be acquired in the physical world. This level of desire places a seeker in a different world where she is able to see objects both metaphysical and physical, not with the eye of the physical world, but with the eye of the heart. What the one known as Ken Wilber has called the eye of contemplation. These desires for a higher way are wise desires. We would encourage each of you to stoke these fires of hope and faith and will and ask for your highest desires with abandon and greed. For these desires for a higher way of being, for a higher method of seeing, will cool the fire in the oven of desire, so that you, as an instrument of the divine, are tempered and strengthened . You shall not, to the best of our knowledge, probably ever be able to experience a lack of desire. For you dwell within a physical vehicle which must eat, which must have a place, which must put onto the body protective clothing against the elements. As long as you carry this structure of flesh, the chemical and biological reactions that move the physical vehicle from infanthood to growth, to decay, to death, will continue unabated, that being the nature of that physical vehicle and the nature of the physical world into which this vehicle has been born. The poet, which this instrument knows as Tennyson, called nature red in tooth and claw. Everything must eat. And so the universe of the body is full of that which is eaten and that which eats. It is full of the tiniest organization of molecules that make up the simplest life form, having unending desire. And with each additional iota of consciousness, there come new and greater levels of physical desire. There is no harm, error, or sin in desire. It is simply logical to satisfy appetite. Each organism has instinctual appetites, and the fulfilling of them is appropriate and, shall we say, planned for by the infinite creator. Indeed, desires are to be protected. In that it is well for all that draws breath, shall we say, within your physical world, to have that which is needed to sustain life. The kind of desire that tends to provide excellent catalyst for growth and good food for thought is what we might term mental emotional desire. The one known as Rumi spoke of that desire to get those things which he might need at a later time. The one known as Steve spoke of the desire to come into a more integrated or full understanding that would illuminate to him the experience that he was having, that would make things more make sense. If the one known as Rumi noted these particular desires were dropped, others would take their place. And in this context, we would use something else out of this instrument's memory. A story that is given as what this instrument calls a koan. A parable, shall we say, that helps seekers to gain realization. The story, in brief, is that there was a holy man, an anchorite, one who had been given a room where he might put his bones in a daily bowl of meager soup and bread that kept body and soul together. And in this room, this entity sat in meditation all of his waking hours, waiting on the truth, resting in the divine, at peace, and feeling no rising desire. Years went by, and then one day, the door to his humble room burst open, and into the room came a woman he had never seen before. She placed a baby in his arms. She had told her parents that this holy man was the father of her child, and she was giving the child to him. After contemplating this gift for a time, this holy man set out for the seacoast, very near the street on which he lived, and obtained work of the most humble kind, carrying heavy things on and off the ships that traded at that port. With the money that he made, he purchased food and fed and clothed and tended the child that had been given to him. Several years went forward in this way, and then one day his door burst open again, and this woman entered again, having decided that she wished for her child after all. He gave her the child, who was by now past the toddler stage. Arranged his limbs for meditation and rejoined the light that he had left behind when the gift of the child was his. To the one who has no arising desire, the universe is free. It is a gift. And every blade of grass, every ray of sunlight, every kind word, every gentle glance, is a beauty and a truth. When you have no arising desire, you may feel the dance of the element. The dance of the wind, the dance of fire, the dance of water, and the dance of earth. And the universe lies before you. Infinitely complex, infinitely unified, at one with itself, at one with you, part of you, as you are a part of it. May we say we do not expect to see many moving through third density who experience this state of no desire for longer than, say, a moment, an hour, or an afternoon. Times of feeling this peace indeed are gifts that come now and again, and while you are experiencing this peace, you wonder why you ever desired anything. But that setting of full and open-hearted faith that ultimate balance of will that would allow such a state are genuinely not helpful for the purposes of evolution in spiritual terms. The design of your physical vehicle as human beings is not an error or a whim, but rather it is the result of a good deal of experimentation on the part of what this instrument would call the deity. Creations before this one that you now experience have tried various kinds of ways in which entities could accelerate the pace of their spiritual development. And so far what has been found is that placing a veil over the truth and the beauty and the ultimate goodness of all that exists is very helpful for the developing spirit. If you are as the trees and the flowers, then you know without having to reach that all is well, that all is one, and that all is a dance. But humans with this knowledge will not move themselves forward spiritually, but rather tend to remain in the state in which they were born. It is actually the arising of desire creating discomfort that motivates entities on so many levels. And this motivation of people who wish to simplify or clarify or solve the perplexing questions of what to desire and how to desire it are what open people to new thoughts, new ideas, new practices, and new ways of looking at things. There is, of course, much of skill. But more of art. In learning your own self. Of using the mind carefully in a limited fashion to analyze just what level is this desire on. How true to myself, the seeker, is this desire? How honest and pure is this desire? There are many ways to use the emotions in working with the desires of the heart, the emotions in the mind. We would like to take another half hour to speak of the desire to know. That we shall content ourselves here with faith. that the intellectual and the emotional parts of the self often so combine as to create a very intense desire to know. And this desire has power both for good and for ill in terms of the evolution of the spirit. Here, we would perhaps offer a warning that we have offered many times. And that is the warning of the nature of mind as compared to the nature of consciousness. It is easy to confuse the mind with consciousness, but they are separate. You are, in terms of your physical vehicle, an almost hairless great ape. You have an excellent mind, capable of abstract thought, self-reflection, and many, many other things. It is basically a choice-making tool. When faced with something, the physical mind wants to solve the problem. It is not comfortable, it is not used to thinking about or analyzing or sitting with what is perceived to be a desire that needs to be fulfilled. For your everyday existence, for meeting the society's demands and keeping body and soul together, this is an excellent tool. It is not to be confused with the consciousness that you are. That which you are is not a citizen of time or place. You are not of this earth. You are not of this era. Before time began, you existed. In all possible creations, you exist. You are one with the infinite creator. Being able to separate these two strands of being is sometimes extremely helpful when you are working with desire. For that which you are, as a citizen of eternity, is in itself what this instrument would call a safe place to rest from this seemingly ceaseless process of arising desire and the satisfaction or the disappearance of desire. Be sure that when you use the mind, you use it as you would any tool or resource. Be sure you do not allow the mind to use you. For as we said, the mind of your physical vehicle has a life of its own and can and will drive your consciousness to distraction if you allow the mind to race away with you. It is a good tool. It is a poor, poor master. Rather, we would suggest that you come to the working with desire from the heart. Because the heart is that point within the energy system of the body wherein the one infinite creator dwells and awaits the reaching of the hopeful heart. It is as though that which you most keenly desire with your spirit and your soul is already within you, more yours than your breathing or your heartbeat, closer to you than your own bones and flesh. So that the judgment and analysis and understanding that you have within you and can apply to questions that you have about desire are in place, waiting for you to achieve the quietness and confidence of self, to turn to them and to allow them their full sway. Whether a seeker decides to get this car or that computer or that larger tent, in a very important way, makes almost no difference in the spiritual life of the seeker who makes these choices. But when you move into the area of desires for qualities, for truth, for higher spiritual capacity, then you are beginning to work with desires that are very helpful in terms of the acceleration of your spiritual self, the moving forward of that process of evolution of the spirit for which you took flesh in the first place. When next you have these desires for things or for qualities, gaze at them from a secure and restful place within your own heart, knowing that you have all that you need if you are one with the infinite creator, yet knowing that you dance the dance of life, and while you are moving through the steps of this beautiful and intricate dance, desire shall arise and may well be satisfied. Know that this is a not only accepted but a protected activity, that you have not cast yourself into the outer reaches of foolishness simply because you desire, for it is your nature and your glory to desire. But what shall you desire? There. It's always the choice. We will at this time make an offer and also leave this instrument. Our offer, as always, is that if there is a desire for help as you are seeking, say, to deepen a meditation or a contemplation, we are happy if you will call us to be with you, not to speak with you, but simply to add our meditation to your own. For in many cases, this actually helps in stabilizing or deepening your meditative state. And it is part of that which we are allowed to do without infringing upon free will. Call us mentally to you by our name. And we are glad to be with you at any time. We would at this time leave this instrument and transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument. We are those found in the principle of cool.
I am Kuo, and greet each again, in love and in light, through this instrument. It is our privilege at this time to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which those present may have for us. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question. I have been participating with a group finding solutions of ones who, as I say, purport to be Zetas. And I have questions and doubts as far as the service orientation of those of that group. Could you give me your perspective?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my brother. It is our great desire to be of service through speaking to groups such as this one. For in so speaking, we have the opportunity to walk with each a certain distance, shall we say, upon the journey of sweeping. And if we may speak in a manner which offers a catalyst and inspiration, then we feel blessed. We at all times seek to avoid infringing upon the free will of any entity to whom we speak. There are many ways in which free will may be abridged, and we are aware that if we give a blessing or a warning to an entity such as yourself who is working with other groups, then perhaps our speaking will carry too much weight in that regard. Therefore, in matters such as this, we leave the process of discrimination to you, my brother, for we are aware that you are able to assess the nature of any information which comes within your providence. Therefore, we must apologize for not being able to give you that which you seek in this case. For we would not take from you the opportunity. I am Kuo, and am again with this instrument. Is there any other query, my brother, to which we may attempt response?
Yes. There has been a gentleman named Chris, a young man, who would, through the internet has been, I guess, how should I say, asking me for advice, spiritual and otherwise. And I'm not quite sure how we fell into it, and I guess at times I'm concerned that I'm giving him good answers, giving him good advice. Again, I ask for your thoughts on that.
I am cool and am aware of your query, my brother. We would suggest to you, my brother, that as you have come in contact with this entity, that there is no mistake or happenstance about the crossing of your paths. This entity has been drawn to you, for there is within this entity's subconscious feelings the impulse to seek information from those sources which it values. Thus, as you speak with this entity and share with him that which is your best and highest information and inspiration, you give to him that which he seeks. You must also realize that this entity is, as yourself, one who is able to discriminate between that information which he receives that is helpful to him and that information which is not helpful to him. Thus, we would encourage you in your sharing of information with this entity that you do so in an open and free manner, for there is much that each may learn from the other in the exchange of information. Is there a further query?
Yes, there's many that I've spoken with that work with healing devices such as inert gas, a gentleman that works with advanced electromagnetic theory and is also working with a medical device. I have a desire to, I guess, help and assist in whichever way is appropriate. Is there appropriate means that you could suggest or directions that I take a look at in that regard?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my lord. Again, we suggest to you that you follow that thread of possibility, of opportunity, of inspiration that has led you well to this point and shall continue to lead you in your journey upon the seeking of truth. For as you have traveled this path, you have drawn to you those sources of information and opportunity which are meant for you to consider. Again, we remind each entity that there is no mistake upon the journey of seeking. All experiences provide opportunities for learning, for serving, and for loving. And as you move upon your path, when you decide upon one experience or another, base your decision upon the movement of your heart, upon the guidance of your own inner voice, upon the intuition that is alive and well within each. as you seek information and opinion from outer sources, such as books, friends, sources such as we ourselves, take it all in within your own system of thinking, of reflection, of meditation, and then move with the heart. For truly the heart removes the doubt from the decision. Is there a further query?
Not at this time.
I am Paul. We thank you for your queries, my brother. And we would ask if there be another query from anyone else at this time.
I'd also like to follow up on one of Steve's, that very first one that he asked about the Zetas. As you well know, we've had other questions on that. I was wondering, is it beyond acceptable limits for you to talk about service to self and service to other in terms of any way that you want to look at that? Sometimes I think
yes,
it's a matter of perceiving service to self and service to others. Can you talk about that in the abstract, or would even that at this point be too much of an impression?
I am Paul, and am aware of your query, my sister. It would be a recommendation that as entities seek to assess the nature of groups that are from elsewhere, shall we say, those who purport to be from other realms, other dimensions, other planetary influences, that one first see each group and each entity as a portion of the one creator, that there is an affinity with each, no matter the nature of the information, for all are indeed a portion of one creator. When one wishes to further discern the usefulness of the information to the self, that one look at that which is given. Oftentimes, entities of a positive nature will remain, shall we say, upon the sideline without the glittering statements, the claims and boasts of one degree of mastery, power, influence, or another. That there is sometimes the ability to describe or assess a source of information according to the degree of humility that entities offer for those of the positive orientation will fully respect each entity's point of view and will refuse to influence it overly much, wishing instead that each entity be able to move forward from his or her own strong foundation of being. For all entities are indeed portions of the one creator with the ability to develop discrimination and decision making upon their own. Again, we refer each entity to the meditative state where one may, within the heart, contemplate the feeling of a group, the essence of a source of information. For the mind may be dazzled, the emotions may be swayed. But the heart needs be communicated with by love in order to be moved. Is there another query, Mrs.
Well, thank you very much for that.
I am Kwan. And again, we thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I have one. There was some interesting information that I came across. It was called the Wingmakers. It mentioned a group of, I guess, some human around 750 years from now, communicating back to this time. They had 23 chambers, and it had music, art, literature, and some, I guess, technological crystal devices. And I'm curious as far as the message that was wanting to truly be presented.
I am Kwan, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. Again, we do not wish to cross that boundary of infringement upon free will, for if we were to make this assessment for you, we would be taking from you the opportunity to exercise your own discrimination. We do not wish to seem short of information in cases such as this, but we wish to offer to each entity the opportunity to exercise free will without our opinion being weighed overly much. Is there another theory?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
I am quite. Again, we thank you, my brother. Is there a final query at this time?
Not for me, thank you.
Not for me, Nicole. Thanks for coming.
I am Kwan. And as it appears that we have for Enos exhausted the queries present, we shall again thank each entity within this circle of seeking for inviting our presence here with you this day. It is always our great honor and privilege to join you here. And we take a great deal of joy in being able to do so. At this time, we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group, leaving each, as always, in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as those of Kwan. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.
Yes, we let the light that we have gathered in the circle go back to its source. We like to place the names in the people that we're concerned about or that have some problem that we would like to hold in the light. And I'll say our little list, and then you'll go ahead and add to it. Kathy Floyd and her family. Dana Viviano. Stephen Marilyn Tyman. Betty Cunningham. Barbara Bruce. Barbara Shula. And Kentucky Weather. Also the cause of peace and the healing of planet Earth. Other requests?
My wife Cindy and my father Joe.
And all those who suffer in my body as well. I am
the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United, people, we are one. United, people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United, people, we are one. United, people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United, people, we are one.